This is Backbone Radio. Welcome back. We're talking with State Senator and Senate Majority Leader Ken Gordon. He's also a candidate for the, will soon be the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. And we wanted to pick up on the issue of voter fraud where we left off, potential voter fraud, where we left off in the last segment. I wanted to ask you what, Senator Gordon, first of all, it's funny. You're my state senator and Andrew Romanoff is my representative, so I don't know if as a Republican...
Some guys have all the luck.
I say, I don't know if that makes me overrepresented or underrepresented, but the one of the questions that I had was you were talking about how potentially the requiring proof of citizenship to register might be putting a barrier. Do you see...
I should say, though, that I don't think that... I'm opposed to non-citizens voting, and if there's evidence that that's happening... then I would like to see it and try to do something about it.
Are there other issues concerning voter fraud that, other than perhaps non-citizens voting, that might be of concern to the Secretary of State?
Well, I don't know if you looked back, but last year I carried Senate Bill 198,
mm-hmm.
which
yes,
required that there be paper, a verifiable paper trail within all the machines, because I am concerned about machines that have no paper in them. They're just basically a computer, mm-hmm. and... because my own computer, you know, gets viruses and has bugs and goes down, and I thought it was reasonable to have a verifiable paper trail within the machine, so that was a concern, and we did pass that with Senate Bill 198.
I guess I'm also concerned about the possibility, and this was raised during the Common Cause lawsuit, if you remember, and this is more for our listeners than for anyone here, the Common Cause filed a lawsuit back in 2004, which I think actually, I don't know if you commented on at the time. I think you did actually comment in some support of it, that would have gotten rid of the ID requirement, would also allowed people to vote pretty much in any precinct that they showed up. And that, at the time, the reason that Common Cause gave for not wanting the ID requirement was that it would have intimidated either African Americans or Hispanic Americans voting. Obviously, at the I don't consider that to be either valid or reason enough. And in fact, the judge in the case didn't seem to think that there would be a disparate impact in that. What do you consider in terms of ID requirements to be reasonable?
I think it's reasonable to require ID to vote. I don't think it was an issue so much of intimidating people. It was just that, you know, the first time you put a new requirement in. There, you might stop some people from voting who don't know that the law has changed. But I think it's reasonable to require ID to vote. And in terms of counting votes, if people vote in the wrong precinct, I think that if they're eligible to vote, we should count the votes. In fact, that's the law federally for federal elections. So I think that if they're eligible to vote, even if they voted in the wrong precinct, we should count their votes for the races that they're eligible to vote in.
Yeah. Because the law
sometimes the precincts are right in the same building has more than one precinct, and you might get in the wrong line. You're you know 30 feet from where you're supposed to be, but they might be long lines, and so I think it's reasonable.
I've actually been an election judge twice in precincts where there were precincts on the other side of the floor, and we actually had no problem directing the person to the other line when we got to the front.
That makes sense too.
But the other thing that came up was the question of the possibility right now. At the law as it stands, giving the last four digits of your Social Security number is considered sufficient ID. You can register that way and you can show up to vote that way. There's a potential problem where somebody might, for instance, with emergency registration, show up, register using the last four digits of their Social Security number, and since Denver is going to voting stations rather than voting centers, rather than precincts, be able then to go vote on a machine. Would you be in favor of stiffening the requirements for ID so that simply giving the last four digits of your Social Security number is no longer sufficient?
I would have to think about that. This is very complex because you have the HAVA, the federal law, intersecting with the state law. I'm in favor of ID, and I think we should require ID, even though that in some states they don't still. And there are Democrats who are opposed to even that requirement. But I don't want to put needless barriers without there being some evidence that there are people who are actually trying to vote who shouldn't vote. And I think There was no evidence presented that there were people who are illegally in the United States trying to vote at the hearing, and I think that they're unlikely to want to bring attention to themselves in that way, so I think it's unlikely. But, you know, if there was evidence of that kind of voter fraud, then I would want to address it, and we might have to stiff an ID at that time.
John Andrews and Joshua Scharf talking with Senator Ken Gordon, Majority Leader of the Senate Democrats and candidate for Secretary of State. Senator Gordon, you ran a bill this year unsuccessfully seeking to enter Colorado into this interstate compact that would give all of a state's electoral votes to whoever won the national popular vote. This is not the same thing that voters turned down on a ballot issue in 2004, but it's kindred to it in terms of undermining the electoral college design that we have in the U.S. Constitution. And in my practical political concern about it, among other things, is that it would seem to disempower Colorado voters as far as really counting in presidential contests in the future, because we are already considered somewhat flyover country. Wouldn't it be all the worse if we did not have our own electoral votes to dispose of according to the will of our own state's voters?
Well, this is my view on that. I think that the person who runs for governor who gets the largest number of votes in Colorado should be the governor of Colorado, and the person who runs for president who gets the largest number of votes in the United States should be the president of the United States.
Does that mean you don't allow any weight to the checks and balances of federalism that are in our Constitution?
No. I mean, we have state legislatures who write the laws for the different states. We have the United States Senate that's allocated by states. But I think when you're picking a president of the entire United States, everybody's vote should count equally in that election, and the person who gets the largest number of votes should be the president of the United States. And usually that happens. There's been four times when the person who's got the smallest number of votes has become president. The most recent was in 2000.
I wouldn't say he got the smallest number of votes, but he got less than the...
Smaller than... He got the smaller of the two major parties. And you know, it almost happened the reverse in 2004. It's not partisan. In 2004, if John Kerry had gotten 60,000 more votes in Ohio, he would have been president of the United States, even though George Bush received larger number of popular votes. You know, I think it's reasonable to elect the president of the United States by counting the votes. That's how we elect every other elected official in the United States.
And then why not pass a constitutional amendment to do it that way? Because under the current system that you're proposing, under the mechanism that this would use, as few as 11 states could pass this and it would go into effect.
Yeah, the reason why that's
true. And it would go into effect without the approval of the other 39 states.
Yeah, the reason why the 11 state number exists is because that's the same number of states that can elect the president right now without the approval of the other 39 states, because 11 states have a majority of electoral votes. So it's because of the electoral system that 11 states have so much power. Under the current system, 11 states can elect the president of the United States. What I'm proposing is that under this system, 11 states could create a system that allows every vote in the United States in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia, so there's 51 entities, to count in the election of the United States. So if what you're saying is there's a problem with distribution of power, right now it's because 11 states can elect the president of the United States with the electoral system.
Has that ever happened?